that's to be like Christ, that we lay down the power and the privilege that we have on behalf of someone who doesn't have it. That's what he did on the cross. And so if we say we're Christ followers, we have to follow his example by eschewing the privilege and the power that we may have been given through no acts of our own. If I am trying to be like Christ, then I have to take anything that I have that's privilege or power or status, or, I mean, it says in the Bible, he cast out his divinity to become human. This is a similar setup. Like, we should be casting off our privileges to, on behalf of those who are less privileged and oppressed.
Welcome back to Study with Friends. Today we are concluding our 5-week series on biblical justice. We hope that this series has encouraged you and also given you tools to engage those around you for the gospel. If you've missed any part of this discussion, we encourage you to look it up on our website, studywithfriends.org. Just type biblical justice in the search bar. You can also listen to us on any of your favorite devices throughout the week by going to iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. We appreciate you joining us on this journey. Now let's conclude our look at biblical justice.
Biblical justice, so number 5 of the 5 characteristics I lifted out about biblical justice, is that biblical justice happens in God's time and God's way. So let's talk about why that's hard to accept. Let's just be transparent about that.
We're impatient.
Mm-hmm.
This one's a hard one. Mm-hmm. You and I have talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I kind of laughed when I saw this one. We've had the conversation, especially when I was kind of early on wrapping my head around things and why does bad things happen, you know, to good people. I truthfully still have a very hard time wrapping my head around this one. Mm. In reading a lot of this that we're going to get into, it kind of sheds a little bit more light on it, and we've mm-hmm. talked a little bit about this, and I don't necessarily always love the answer to mm-hmm. it. Let's face it.
There's an element of unsatisfactory
yeah.
result in the answer, the true answer.
Yeah, and it's hard. It's hard when you start to read some of these passages and things that we're going to get into with the why, but on top of like impatience, and it's also like, it's not maybe the way I would do it, but it's because it's not up to me. Yeah. Honestly, it's God has his way of showing us things, teaching us things, letting us come to him mm-hmm. or find him. And it's sometimes he has to be drastic, I think.
It's hard, super hard to watch what you said, Caitlin, which is that we're impatient. Yeah. It's hard to wrap your brain around God's why. Anything else from that first little space? Your reflections on why would he allow that?
I always remember that he allows these things to happen so that we learn and that we better ourselves or better the world around us, and honestly to spread his word and for us to grow closer to him, because I've realized many of like the bigger issues in my life in the end have drawn me closer to him. Even though I didn't like going through those like times, it's just, yeah, just like a learning.
So it's interesting because you're coming at this from the perspective of being on the other side and being able to look back in your life mm-hmm. and say, I see how God used that for my good and his glory.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a very high level of intentionality. Don't you agree? People can sit in the victim place or sit in the injustice place. It could be something that happened to your child, or that's a hard thing to do. Would I be wrong if I said that the only way you were able to do that was through God living in you in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
I know that that's true for me. Like I can't see God's perspective on it unless I have an intimacy with God in that time. Like I have to say, you got to show me what you're doing here, or show me that it's going to be okay, because mm-hmm. I can't see it. And in those times, he is faithful. He reminds me, I know you can't see it. You've got to trust me. And here's the difficult thing. If you don't already know God, how can he do that for you? How can he pour that mercy and grace over your heart when you're hurting about injustice if you don't have a relationship with him, which is why when people talk in our culture right now about injustice and how much that personally hurts them, that's an opportunity for you to share. Say, that deeply hurts me too, and here's the only way I get through it. Because that is winsome. That explains to people, oh, you know, like, I'm not okay with injustice. Of course I'm not okay with it. But I find peace in my full trust in God. That's the only way I get through. We're not satisfied with injustice, but we have peace that God's greater purpose and plan is at work. And that's the only way we find peace with injustice as it plays out in a way that we are impatient for it to resolve. I was thinking about this the other day when I was doing my personal study time. I was like, man, God is a patient God. Because if you look through all of history, even just all of the Old Testament, God is a patient God to allow the world to spin itself up in the way that he knew sin would spin it up, so that when he does deliver Christ, it's meaningful to humans. If he delivered Christ right after the garden, we would not have this experience of our real need for Christ. Mm-hmm. And how could we then really apprehend what he had done? So it is impossible to be as patient as God, but you know, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Patience is one of them. When you feel like, God, I am impatient for justice, ask his Spirit to increase in you and say, give me the patience to wait on your plan. Your plan is perfect. Give me the faith to believe that your plan is perfect. A lot of people don't read the book of Job, but when you talk about injustice, you've got to read the book of Job. You've got to read it. And specifically, I'm going to read this passage. So the Lord speaks. Finally, the Lord responds to Job and all of his inquiries about, like, what is up? Honestly, if you are feeling restless as a believer about injustice, meditate on Job 38, 39, 40, and 41. But I'm just going to read a few verses from it. So God responds to Job by saying, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. So he's flipping the script because Job's asking him all these questions. And then God's going to say, no, I'm not going to answer your questions. I'm going to ask you questions instead. And he says, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and I set its doors and bars in place, when I said, this far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt. That one I'm going to stop on because that one is very meaningful. Anytime you go to the beach, you have to be struck by the vastness of the ocean. And to think about what God is saying here, he says, I say, this is where you stop. And so this calls all the way back to the beginning of our Bible study together. There are two precepts you have to believe. God exists, and as the creator, he sets the standard for his creation and everything in it. He sets the standard for right and wrong, and that's what I was leading into. But he also sets the standard for when justice is meted out. And that's hard for us. We want control over our lives and all the things that make us uncomfortable. And injustice, because God designed us to be image bearers, to call out to him. Injustice, fundamentally, we know it's wrong. Nobody taught us that. Nobody cultivated that in us. We came out. You ever see a two-year-old fighting with another two-year-old? You see them battling over what they would consider injustice. We know this. No one has to teach it to us. And by created beings, we have to then also submit to the creator in all ways, always. And that's exactly what God is just laying out for Job, the whole world and everything in it, and how Job is just a tiny little speck. And he's saying, you can't possibly know what I have in mind for your story. cultures that you can't conceive of yet will learn from you. I have a purpose for your story. And you can't conceive of it. You're just going to have to trust me. And Job, listen, in the end, Job got some stuff back. But it wasn't a reward. It was just God's mercy. And so don't be thinking that when you read the end of Job, it's like, oh, well, he did a good job, so he was rewarded. That is the prosperity gospel, and that ain't right. We are not rewarded with things and stuff because of our faith. That is not what happened in Job. What happened is God restored Job because he loved him and because he saw fit in his ultimate perfect economy to do so. That's how that works. He decides who has power. He decides who has money. He decides who has health. It's his to decide. And we can feel frustrated about that. That's okay. But if we bring our frustration to him, he is faithful to reminding us how much he loves us, like you're saying again and again. Thank you for bringing that thread through this whole Bible study. And how his plan is perfect. And if you soak in the word and you see how long it took, and we still haven't seen Revelation complete yet. So this is the entirety of history, the human history. God is patient for his world to become what he designed it to be in the first place. We are not. We need his patience. It's called, actually, in the King James, it's called long suffering, which I think is a better way to describe it. We are waiting and crying out. And that's what Lamentations are about. That's what the Lamentations in the Psalms are about. There's a place for that. God says, I will meet you there. I agree this is wrong. I agree this hurts me. This grieves me. Let's sit in that together. And there's an intimacy there, you guys, where you just sit with the Lord and say, I trust you, but this is hard and it hurts. And if you can put yourself fully at the foot of the cross when you say that, I've had this experience on more than one occasion. The wave of intimacy that comes into grieving with God when he grieves and lamenting what's happening in injustice and unrighteousness in the world, there's an intimacy there. So trusting him that he's faithful, the injustices in your personal life, the injustices in your culture or community, he agrees they are unjust, but they will be justified in his time, not our time. Now, we can have an impact on that. And I want you to be reminded about the Old Testament. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, and he went, and the people repented. And he was a little irritated because he wanted justice for Nineveh, right? He wanted Nineveh to get what they had coming. But because they repented, there was agency there. So we have human agency over how Christ's kingdom plays out here. We have some agency. And so don't feel like, okay, well, I guess God's going to do what he's going to do anyway. We did a whole series on divine sovereignty and human responsibility. So go back and dig that one up too. Don't wash your hands of it. Do justice. This is the whole Bible study was led with Micah 6:8. Can someone read that?
He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
He does want us to act justly. It's not just wish for justice, hope for justice, wait for justice. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you act justly. But when you see injustice that's beyond your reach, trust me. Let's tackle the rest of these Bible verses, and let's read James and Luke and John really quickly first. So, Caitlin, will you do the Luke 13, 1 through 5, and mm-hmm. then Andrea, be ready with James 4, 12.
Okay. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Are those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.
Okay, so what did that say to you about God's why?
I just pulled from it, like, no person's sin is greater than another in God's eyes. And we always, as humans, we see them as like, oh, okay, well, murder is worse than lying. But to God, it's all sin. And while it's unfortunate that those people died, he allowed them to die to teach the others that were like, oh, well, were they worse sinners? He said, no, you're all going to, you know, perish if you don't repent and believe in me. It's like, regardless of, you know, what you think of your sins, like, I see that in my eyes, they're all the same to me. They're all sin.
Right. And there's sort of the double death, right? So you'll die a human death, mm-hmm. but then you're dying a spiritual death. And I think that's what he's pressing into. He's saying, unless you repent, you will likewise perish.
Mm-hmm.
Like this human death is passing. But what happens to you for eternity? We don't talk enough about that.
Mm-mm.
We don't talk enough about that. Andrea, will you read James 4:12 for us?
God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? I mean, it ties in with the last passage as far as, and you said it perfectly, sin is sin. And it's hard to wrap your head around murdering someone is different than lying or whatever. But it's sin at mm-hmm. the heart of it. So it is not my job to judge anyone because I am a sinner also. What I have, though, is to ask God, leave it to him, ask for his forgiveness and his grace, and let him be the judge mm-hmm. ultimately over other people, because it's not my job to judge what anyone else is doing. He's the ultimate judge. I am just as much of a sinner as anyone
Amen.
Else.
Amen. Amen. And I see how that ties with the Job passage too.
Yeah.
He's mm-hmm. saying, who are you? Who are you to say? And this is important in our culture right now, because when the moment is right, we have to gently remind people, who are you to say what's right and wrong? God says what's right and wrong. In the end, and I think what this is, what your passage is saying is, if you choose not to obey that law, you perish.
Mm-hmm.
There is a consequence. Okay, Michaela, you're up.
So basically, this is about a man who was born blind, and Jesus came and gave him sight. And the disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And the fact that they asked that question is just, it's funny to us, but like we're so easily in that position, getting so focused on what this limited world has to offer, when God comes into the scene and is like, wait, actually, I can flip this over and I can do something that you had no idea mm. was even possible. And the fact that he did it on the Sabbath, and Pharisees getting mad about that, by healing him on the Sabbath, Jesus brought justice and healing out of genuine, real love, that he didn't even care about the law, what the world was saying don't do. He was like, no, I came for the people, so I'm going to heal them. I'm not going to let your standards stop me from doing what I came here to do. And that really challenges me in asking, would I go against the tide to show God's love to people?
It's so tough.
It's hard.
It is challenging. Yeah. It's convicting. Interestingly, we've talked a lot about the lawless today. But this passage is important to consider when we talk about those who are too entrenched in the law. So in Christianity, we call this legalism. And what we mean by that is people who are stuck on the rules and don't remember what we call the spirit of the law or the heart of the law. And so we have to find that place where God's heart lives, why the law is in place, not just the law is in place. We don't want to talk about justice and be lopsided about it, only mm-hmm. talk about, justice. We also have to talk about mercy and how the law is in place to show us our need for a savior. That's what it's there for. It's to show us how much we sin. It's a mirror. The law is a mirror. It's not there to be a weapon. It's not to be used to hurt people and judge people. Like you said, judgment is for the Lord. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about mercy and justice. And I think, of course, the best passage for that is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. That God says, I will have justice. All of these passages and all of these concepts that we've been unpacking today are talking about God saying, as a perfect God, as a perfect holy God, he will have justice. But he gives a merciful trapdoor for anyone who is finds themselves entrapped in sin, which we all do. We all need the cross. And so that's where justice finally has its place. that he has enacted justice, but he took it upon himself. Any final thoughts on justice, biblical justice?
The thing I wrote in all caps was that, like, kind of stuck with me throughout the whole thing was judging without bias, because I realized throughout my life I've been very biased with, like, certain things, and not, like, on purpose or, you know, it's just human nature. And we just have to remember that when God judges us, it's without bias.
Amen. And I think the Holy Spirit is doing a work in you through this time, because that's what I was saying before. It's hard for us to look at ourselves. Mm. And you know what's funny? When you said judge without bias, I thought you were going to talk about other people judging with bias. And you just turned it around and you said, I do that, and I'm convicted by that. And so kudos to you for that. Yeah, okay, that's hard. Okay. And it should be encouraged. And I just wanted to tell you I appreciate that. Anything else you guys want to talk about with a wrap up?
Quick thing I pulled out was just, it's not enough to just not judge or to just help those in need, but we need to do it all. We're here as God's creation to love one another, and it's not pick and choose.
How about you?
I think that the Christian walk is just looking in the mirror every day and remembering that you are a product of what happened on the cross. Getting something that you never deserved. And yeah, that's just incredible to think that. And that through everything, God is there to help you, and he's never going to leave us. And, you know, he has all authority on heaven and earth. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to get caught up in misplacing our hope in this earth. And one of my good friends often says, treat people with kindness. It's not easy, but with God,
It can be done. Amen. All right, girls, let's pray it out. God, we need you in this subject. We need you in every aspect of our lives, but we truly recognize our need for you in this area, that we are so quick to judge others as unrighteous, but the unrighteousness that we have most agency over is our own. If you would enter our hearts even in a greater way, even in this moment, God, remind us of the grace that we need. Remind us of the injustice of the cross and how we were beneficiaries of Christ dying for something he didn't deserve. Help us to understand and act justly in your ways. Help us to see things with your eyes, to be your hands and feet, to love those who are vulnerable and oppressed. There's a lot of work to do. We want to do it. We feel unequal to the task. Would you please increase your spirit in us? Show us the ways we can go out even from this moment and do better for your glory and only for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
In these unsettling times when it feels like everything around us is rapidly changing, I'm so glad we have a steadfast God we can cling to, a God who loves justice, yet also gives mercy, a God who is mysterious, yet revealed himself and his heart for us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. May we never cease to marvel at the stunning display of justice, mercy, and unmerited grace God poured out for us through his Son on the cross. We are a weekly Bible study, just like you find at your local church. If you aren't involved in a church, we encourage you to find one where they are teaching from the Bible in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word, and he instructed them, "Freely you have received, so freely give." We believe those words apply to us here at Study with Friends. So we have created many resources for you at our website, studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of others, we are also 100% donor supported. If you have been particularly blessed by any of the resources we work hard to provide, would you consider donating to our ministry? Monthly partners are especially helpful to us, and no amount is too small. If you are willing to give, we would be grateful and thankful to have it. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner on our website, studywithfriends.org/donate. We always love to hear from you. You can email us at info@studywithfriends.org. Let us know which studies are affecting you or how we can pray for you. You can also connect with us via Facebook or Twitter. It's always an encouragement to hear from you and know how God is blessing you. We'll see you next time when we study with friends.